Well, we're going to, for the next few weeks, be doing, it sounds so canned, but canned worship. But how many know it's not really about the outward appearance, right, James? It's really about the heart. And so even though, you know, we're used to an outer appearance of song and jubilation, jumping, of course, not everybody's jumping, but clapping their hands, we're really interested in our heart, and God's really interested in our heart. So hopefully I've got some good songs lined up. I want to encourage everyone to come up to the front if you can. If you can't, you don't have to. Well, not everyone, but I mean, as many as want to. And we'll just gather up here. We'll just prepare our hearts before the Lord and just see what he wants to do in our midst today. Our goal is to be who God wants us to be, not just individually, but as a family of believers. And so welcome all the guests. And this is One Life Family Worship, where we really try to be a family. We really try to live that out. We want to show each other the love of God. I want kind of a phrase to be what happens here is a place where love happens. And I think that is what people are seeking. That's what the world wants. That's really what we want. We're really just wanting love. So Jesse, if you'll go ahead and lead worship, that will be... The sound man's now leading worship. That's incredible. Yeah, I'll pray. How about that? Father, we just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to gather together. And Lord, even though we don't all feel 100% comfortable because it's a different type of atmosphere, Lord, we know, God, that when we seek you, Lord, we'll find you, when we search for you with all our heart. And so today, Lord, we come before your throne of grace, Lord, where you invite us to come boldly. And Lord, we ask that there would be such a evidence here of your presence, Lord, not just in the midst of us, Lord, but in our hearts, deep in our lives, Lord. Father, we just pray right now, Lord, that we would be able to go past any of the technical issues, Lord, and approach you, Lord, deep inside ourselves, Lord, and we would connect with you in a real way today, that it would not just be pomp and circumstance, Lord, but it would literally be our heart connecting one-to-one with you. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, if there's anything that's in our lives, anything that's been something you have put your finger on, and we've pushed it aside, and we said it doesn't matter. Lord, I pray today that we'd lay it before your altar. Lord, we'd lay it down, Lord, and we'd give it up, Lord. And because of that, Lord, we'd be able to walk out of here freer people. And so, Lord, we thank you that we are your people. We thank you, Jesus, for being the one that laid down his life so that we could be raised up into newness of life. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
I read something this past week. The song talks about forgiveness is bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And what I read is Pastor Hagee had said, Christ bought our salvation with his blood, so God sees us as too expensive to give up on. We are worth more to him than we even realize. And because his precious son was blood to buy us, he's not going to set us aside because we're broken. He's going to fix us and make us better. He's not going to set us aside because we've committed sin and done wrong, because that's not who he is. He loves us, and he purchased us, and he's going to keep us. And so for those who think that they're not good enough or they've done something completely and totally wrong and can't be forgiven for, that's not what Christ tells us, and that's not what the precious blood of him that he shed for us tells us.
I was listening to this song, and it just really fit in. And Pastor Mike was like, hey, this is that song. This is it, Zeke. You know, I had something to share a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't really get around to it just because, you know, this is all new to us, too, with the, you know, different type of worship and everything. And I was a little nervous about the whole thing. But so Pastor Mike asked me to, you know, really think about it and, you know, and share if I could. And you know, I'm not big on sharing a lot, but, you know, unless, you know, God really moves me to, and he really has the last couple of weeks. So just want to share with you that, you know, here recently I had a really good job, and, you know, and it was taking care of my family really well, and, you know, things were going really, really good. I thought so. You know, we had the dream job that me and my wife always wanted, you know, to have. It wasn't so much traveling, but, you know, in the summer we got to, you know, travel together, and here recently I just got laid off, you know, and it was a big corporation, and it was one of their big decisions. They laid off a whole bunch of people, and unfortunately I was one of them, and it was probably the first of the month. It was a Monday, and they got us all around and put us on our webinars that we tend to listen to every week, and they said, hey guys, you know, everyone's not terminated but just laid off, and you know, in the best possible way. It was a good company to work for. So, you know, I just sat there and thought, now what, you know? So it was Monday morning. I have to admit, I was, you know, kind of losing my nerve a little bit, and, you know, feeding into, you know, the enemy's fear, you know, because he puts fear in our heart to don't know where we're going to go, what we're going to do at that point anymore. And Tara and I spoke about it, and I was starting to really stress out come Tuesday, thinking, wow, you know, I worked all my life to get to this point, you know, to this is it. This is the job that I worked for, you know, all my life to get to there. So that was Tuesday, and I was starting to stress out and, you know, starting to worry, you know, about everything, even though, you know, they let us go really nicely. You know, it was probably the best, you know, laying off. I guess I never been laid off, but, you know, in the best possible way ever. So on Tuesday I was, you know, when the hospital asks you, hey, if you have pain from 1 to 10, where's your pain? You know, in my worryingness and fear was about 9.5. You know, I was really starting to stress out, and Tara was starting to notice it. So, you know, it was kind of funny, but, you know, it was probably Tuesday night, maybe early Wednesday morning. And, you know, so I thought, you know what? What the heck? Let me just pray over it, you know, and just give it all to God and see what he can do for me. Because, you know, I, all my life, I've always thought that, you know, that the job is who you are. It's what defines you. It's who Zeke is. You know, I was a painter a long time. So, you know, Zeke is a painter. People knew him as a painter, you know, and so, you know, I had that in my heart. So I prayed over it. I asked God. I think it was early Wednesday, or I'm not really sure, but it was, like I said, I was at 9.5. So, you know, I sat there and it was early in the morning, because I've been getting up really early and, you know, putting myself out there, you know, doing at least 10 resumes every morning, you know. So I asked God, hey, you know, I really need your help this time. You know, the pressure's really getting to me, and the fear and the worries that come with all of this, it's getting to me. And, you know, I know that he has great things for us, for me and my family. And so I prayed over it, and I said, hey, God, just help me out. You know, just like the song says, you know, can't you just take it all away and just put it on your shoulders? And I know it sounds kind of silly, but, you know, when you're at a point in your life where, man, where everything's piling up on you, and, you know, and you have so many responsibilities, and, you know, sometimes it's unmanageable. You know, it's hard. It's hard for a man, you know, knowing that you have to take care of your family and pay all the bills, and, you know, it's a big weight, you know. So I talked to him, and, you know, and I have this way with God. You know, him and I have a really good understanding, you know, and I said, hey, God, you know, I know that's what you're there for. You know, I want you to take this, you know, this pressure off of me and carry it for me, you know, so that I can, you know, really receive what you have to have, you know, what you have for me, you know, what, where you want me to go, you know, who you want me to speak to and what you want me to do. Because, you know, with all the fear and everything that's going through, you know, me right now, I can't make the right decision without you. So, you know, I put it on him, you know, and it was probably a couple hours, you know. I said, Tara, hey, you know, why don't we just go to breakfast or something, just me and you, you know. And we were stressing out because I was making the wrong decisions. You know, I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to have to move to make the money that it's going to take to support my family. It's going to be in a bigger city, you know. And I already had a, believe it or not, I had an interview. You know, I think it was Thursday, maybe. It was Thursday, and they wanted me to be in Portland, you know. And so I just didn't know if it was in my heart. So we went to breakfast and we spoke about it. And, you know, I probably prayed about it around 7 in the morning. We were eating breakfast around 10. It took 3 hours. And God just released me from it. I mean, it was gone. You know, the worry, I sat there and I talked to, you know, Tara, and we were speaking. And I was like, you know what, honey? We're not moving. You know, we're not going anywhere. I mean, we're going to look for that job, you know, that's going to take care of us. But I don't know if it's moving is going to be the issue yet, you know, the situation that God's going to put us. But if it was moving, you know, if God said move, then you have to move, you know. But, you know, so I did. I went, you know, he released me from it. I'm sorry it's taken so long. But, you know, this has been like 3 weeks, right, Pastor? It's been working for 3 weeks. And, you know, so the story's a little long. And, you know, but hopefully, it'll reach anyone who's having an issue like that. Because I know God works in, you know, the greatest way. So. You know, so I had that, you know, so, you know, it's real life, Pastor, you know, and I've been talking to Pastor, you know, every Wednesday, and we connect, and he prays for me, and, you know, he keeps me solid, you know, just, you know, the faith, you know. And so, gosh, without him, man, I'd go crazy without you, Pastor Mike. You know, you've done so much in my family's life, you know, so, but anyway, so I told my wife, you know what, I'm still going to go to the interview on Thursday. It was a fantastic interview. I mean, believe it or not, I think it went great. You know, I knew some of the people there just because I used to travel to Portland and Washington all the time. So I stopped by and spoke to the owner, and he's like, gee, Zeke, you know, you don't have a ton of experience in this, but I really like you. You seem like a really nice guy. I said, you know what, I'll tell you what. He says, this is what I want, you know, and, you know, this is really what I need to move up here. And so he says, well, let me think about it. You know, I don't really need anyone till really March, mid-March. He says, I'll call you back. I said, that's fine, you know, and I'm a pretty likable person. You know, God's put that energy in my heart so that, you know, people can see the light, that there's nothing bad in there, that, you know, that I'm a pretty good person. So I left there, you know, and I drove all the way home, you know, 3.5 hours or whatever, and I started thinking, you know, God, if you want this job for me, I know you're going to give it to me. But if you don't, then I'm okay with it. You know, so I drove home. I haven't heard from that job, but, you know, I don't think God wants it for me, you know. So, you know, like I said, I put a lot of resumes out there. I'm on my third interview for a company out of Dallas, and I don't have to move. It's just amazing that all those resumes, you know, this one calls me. And, you know, they're based at a Spokane, but they need a salesman for the Yakima area. You know, they say an hour and a half, so about 100 miles in radius of Yakima. So, well, that would really work out for me and my family, you know. You know, so I pray about it every day. And, you know, I went to his interview, this last interview, and he's like, man, you're a really good candidate, you know. He says, but unfortunately, I got a couple other guys I'm looking at, but let me look at them. And he says, but I'm so sure that you're gonna do well. Let me just let you know that I'm gonna call you, come this Wednesday, which is in a couple of days, 3 days. He says I'm gonna connect with you, and see if you can meet me halfway in Moses Lake. I said I would love to, you know. So I left, you know, and after I left, I thought, you know, there's my life. I've been through so much, you know. God's given me so many experiences with people and jobs that I've had, and you know, and I prayed about it that morning, and he just put something over me again, and God says, you know, Zeke, I mean, this is how he said it. He says, you know, son, because if I remember it, you know, son, he says, the job doesn't define you, son. It's not who you are. It's just something that you're doing, you know, and you make a difference while you're there, but it's not who you are. And boy, that just took more weight off my shoulders, just because knowing that I could go anywhere and do anything. I'm not too proud to do whatever it takes anymore. And just for him to say that to me, it made me realize that I could go anywhere and do anything, and it's just a job, you know. And who you reach and who you touch there, it's all in his hands. But he says this is not who you are, son. It's who you are is, you know, is your family, you know, the people that you make company with and the life that you're making yourself and your family. Isn't that who you really are? So, you know, I pray for this interview to go well, you know, but I know that if it doesn't, that God will have something else for me and my family. And, you know, and just, I know you don't know a ton about me, but, you know, to know that you're unemployed and you've always worked. You know, my kids laugh when I tell them, I think my first job I was 4. I was picking cherries with my family. And, you know, they laugh like that too. They're like, yeah, whatever, Dad. No, I think so. And that's how long it's been since we've been working. 4. I was 4. So you don't stop a man in his tracks after working. I mean, I'm 40 years old. You don't just stop him and say, okay, you're not working now. It doesn't work that way. I used to hear people say, hey, Zeke, I can't wait, you know, till I retire. You know, I'm going to do all those things I've always wanted. And now I see them, I'm like, man, I don't have the energy to do it. I don't really want to do it. I just want to go back to work. You know, so I can see what they say, you know, but I told my kids, you know, I think my first job was 4. And you just, it's hard to stop a man. The life is moving and kids are growing and bills are being paid. And then you just stop them. And it's just, I think it's true, you know, what somebody was saying the other day, without God, I'd go crazy. Yeah. You know, I think I'd go crazy. I don't think I could do this without him anymore. And I mean, yeah, you know, searching for a job, it's all right. You know, it's a new experience I'm going through, you know, and meeting new people and going through this, these resume thing and these interviews. But I'll tell you what, I'm learning something. I'm learning to have a lot more faith on God, even though I've had it for a while. I mean, Pastor Mike knows that I've had some pretty good faith, you know, and it's been tested, you know, the last few years. But you know what? I still love God. I don't blame him like I used to. I don't blame him for what's going on, just because I know that instead of blaming him, I should see what he wants me to, or what he's showing me in this, is that, you know, what he's showing me is that I'm just, you know, giving you more experiences in life, son, because one day something, I might need these experiences, and that really has. He's given me a lot of experiences, not just my jobs, but my life. You know, he's a great man, and, you know, I'll be honest with you, I don't pray a ton. I'm not a prayer warrior, you know, like some people are, but I'll tell you what, I was telling my wife the other day, because, you know, for this last interview, they said they were going to call me, I think, Wednesday at the latest, you know. I prayed about it on Monday, and he called me Monday, and Monday's a holiday. He called me. He says, is this so-and-so? And it was funny because I don't answer phone numbers. I don't know. Because in my house, I've had my number for like 20 years. And there is every telemarketer known to man calls our house, you know. And I saw the number and I was like, I don't know it, honey. She goes, just answer it. I'm like, all right. Something told us to answer it. And I answered, and it was this gentleman named Greg for a company called Parts Master. And he says, Zeke, yes, sir. He says, this is so-and-so. He introduced himself. And he's like, you know, I would like to, you know, see you, maybe Wednesday. I was like, well, hey, it's a surprise to hear from you because I didn't think you would call me till Wednesday. And this is what he said. If something told me to call you today and make something happen for Wednesday. I'm like, okay, that sounds great. I'll meet you on Wednesday. Well, and I'm telling you, I prayed about it in the morning. And I know with Jesse and Pastor Mike, we kind of joked around about it. I said, Pastor Mike, I'm kind of afraid to pray. He says, why? I said, because, you know, lately, if I pray about it, I get it. And I really have to be careful what I pray for, because I know I really going to have to need it, or I really have to want that, because it's really happening, you know? I mean, I pray about it and it happens, you know? So I'm going to, you know, I'm going to have to think about what I pray about before I pray about it, because, you know, before we pray about everything, you know, kids, school, wife, friends, church, you know? I've been coming to this church for, geez, probably going on 12 years, 11 years, you know, and I've seen our church grow, and I've seen our church, like, people come and go, and, you know, there was even times where, you know, Tara would say, you know, geez, babe, you know, the church is getting small, but, you know, it's funny that I have enough faith to say that God's kept me here. And he didn't really want me to go anywhere because, you know, I guess I'm a sheep. You know, I'm one of those sheep that God has, you know. And I have a really good, shepherd. You know, I know we don't say it enough, but Pastor Mike, you've really changed my life, man. The day he came over to my house, uninvited. And let me tell you, and my sister can vouch for this, nobody comes to my house uninvited. Because at that time, didn't really like anybody. And it sounds kind of funny, but I didn't even like my own family coming over. Pastor Mike knows this. You know, he came over to my house, I'm like, oh, man, who's this guy? And then he introduced himself, like, oh, Lorraine, I'm a choker. You know, because she's the one that invited him to my house. But, you know, it was probably the best day of my family's life, Pastor Mike. We were going the wrong way, and I was teaching my kids, you know, the way of the world. And you know, that is probably not the best thing, you know. But I thank God for placing me here. I thank God for having a man like Pastor Mike. You know, he's a great shepherd, you know. He's led me, you know, baptized me, you know, and I just want to say thank you, Lord, you know, for everything you've done for me, Lord. You know, thank you for my kids and my son and, you know, my boys, you know, and my family, you know. I love to see my family here, like Letty's here now, like see her here, but overall, I just want to say thank you, Lord, and thank you for the church, and thank you, Lord, for everything you're doing for me, you know, and just keep taking that pressure away so that I can see clearly what you want for us, clearly, so I can just say, hey, this is not what the Lord wants for me. I'm just going to keep moving till he gets me to this point, because financially, he's got us covered, you know, and without the worries, financially isn't so tough, you know. You know, I just want to thank you and just let everybody know that, just so that if anybody's ever, you know, feeling the need to pray, you know, pray for it. You know, God's always there for you anyway. So.
Amen.
Amen.
So on that note, today is the 6th anniversary of our pastor's tenure here, if you will. So if you could come forward, that'd be great.
He perfectly opened that up for us, by the way.
Absolutely.
Did, yeah. I was like, dang, we need to grab the stuff and go up front, because that was like perfect.
So if you could give it up for Pastor Mike and Gabe one more time real quick. Dinner and a card and flowers, man. We're gonna pray for him. So if you could reach your hand forward, Glenn, if you want to come on up, that'd be great. Lord, we just thank you so much for our pastors, Father God. I thank you that you placed them here, Lord, and we thank you for their guidance, Father God. I pray that you will continue to bless them, Father God. Lord, I pray that you will just open up doors for their lives, Father God, and I pray that you will give them clear direction, Father God, and to which the next step is, Father God. Continue to bless them and bless their family, Father God. In your name, amen.
Love you too. A big clap for them.
Do we have any children in the house? Come on up, kids. You're going to have a party downstairs.
The gift card.
Oh, the gift card?
Okay, I'm going to take a quick moment to invite anybody that is willing and able to help us on the cleaning rotation. All of us as a family together, we give our time to come here and clean the church, and we split it with the other church that is here as well. So if you sign up, you'll clean like once every month and a half to 2 months on a Friday or Saturday. And we seem to be, you know, people come and go, and you know, anyways, we could use a couple helpful people. So I'm going to pass this around. If you're able to, please sign up. Put your name and number down, and then I'll contact you, and we'll figure out the details, okay? Thank you.
What a group here this morning. I love all these kids. You guys are all amazing. Are you guys ready to have fun?
Yeah.
Have you been having fun already?
Yeah.
All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, Father, we just love you, and we thank you for these children that you have graced our lives with, God, your children. We bless the parents today as they get to watch their kids grow into beautiful adults, into mature beings in the Lord. And we just thank you, God, for the grace that you've placed on each of their lives to change the world. We thank you for the powerful work that you're doing in their generation, God, and for the way that just their presence in their schools and the smiles on their faces and the love in their hearts is infecting all the children around them, God, in their classrooms. And we just pray as they go downstairs, Lord, that you would speak straight to their hearts, God, that you would capture them today in a new way and launch them into their destiny in you, God. We pray a special blessing over the teachers. Patience, grace, and mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. No one's running today. It's unusual.
You did.
I did. I got a little pep in my step. I'm mighty sore, though. I went for a run this morning. I thought that was a good idea. It was 30 degrees. And if you know me, I'm not a runner. Something just fired up inside me. I ended up coughing up some lung afterwards. It was disgusting. I just wanted to share that with you guys. But I texted my sister. I said, I went for a run this morning. I feel like I smoked a pack of cigarettes. I said, moral of the story is, I'm so glad I don't smoke anymore. Thank you for loving me through my terrible decisions, you know, but it's been almost 4 years since I was addicted to cigarettes, which is awesome. It's really awesome. We got to visit my sister yesterday. She, not airing anyone's dirty laundry. She would be fine, I'm sure, with me sharing. She's at Sundown M Ranch right now for alcohol recovery, so any prayers for her would be awesome. Her name is Elizabeth. Al's grandfather passed away. He lived in Tri-Cities, is that right? Yeah. Well, let's pray for them right now. And my sister. Well, Father, we thank you for the Vargas family. We thank you for your heart for them. We thank you for the ones we know and the ones that we don't know, God. But we also know that we'll meet them one day. It's a faithful family of God. And we thank you for the work you're doing in their lives, in their family, and the way that they are powerfully influencing for the kingdom of God. We just pray for peace in this time of need and this hurt. And Father, for every heart that's broken by this loss of a grandfather, of a father, a brother, possibly a son, everyone whose heart is hurting because of this, God, we just pray for your peace and your mercy, your covering over them, and just that knowing that you're good and that you are the only God. In Jesus' name. I wanted to share a little bit more about my sister and visiting her because she has smoked too. I don't know why smoking is a topic, but evidently God is on me about it this morning. But she is doing alcohol recovery, and it's been like the big secret in our family. Like, everyone's a drunk and no one talks about it. Has anyone ever been in those families? Myself included in that category, too. But, you know, God has a funny way of doing things. And Zeke was talking about, you know, be careful for what you pray for because God might just do it. You know, it says the earnest prayer of an honest man, I'm just paraphrasing, you know, there's power in that prayer. And when your faith is in God, he has the power to do whatever you ask. And he will do it. You know, this morning, I woke up and kind of unusually, we stayed up way too late talking with some wonderful people last night. They might be sitting in the second row on the left side, David and Tanya. But They stayed up late too, so we're not the only sinners in church. But we were talking about the Lord. And we were talking about wonderful things, most of it, other than terrible shows we watch on Netflix. But aside from that, I woke up and I just felt like writing, you know, journaling, if you will, just kind of writing a letter to God. And it ended up more being a preach. And I'm like, God, why do you do this to me? I don't want to do that. But not that I don't. I want to step into greater levels in God. You know, I was telling David and Tanya last night, like, I would rather look foolish in front of people than look foolish in front of my God. And if I'm not willing to look foolish in front of people here, then when am I ever going to look foolish in front of my coworkers for God? When am I ever going to look foolish in front of my family before God? And that's been a prayer in my heart for a while, but translating that back to my sister is, my mom showed up at our house two weeks ago, on Monday. And she says, oh, your sister's in a bad place. She was hammered, calling, talking about terrible things going on in her life. And I know for a long time, I shared back in December before Christmas, we talked about positioning your heart in love for people and your family and how much power that has when we gather around the holidays and how much just fostering love for somebody in your heart translates into you actually being able to powerfully love them when you're with them. And Liz was a person that God had placed in my heart to powerfully choose to love, because I shared about, she would call me and I'd be like, well, my sister's drunk right now. I don't want to answer the phone. This is too much work. This is too much heartache. I have to just listen to her cry and then get progressively drunker throughout the talk. And I just don't want to do that. But God did a work in me about 2 months ago and he changed the way that I saw my sister. So when my mom came and she had this report, I knew in my heart, we need to gather and we need to pray right now. So Lotta, myself, and my mom, we just came in. We did like that team huddle, like we were joining, you know, forces, like let's get amped up before the game, whatever. And we just started praying over my sister. And we left and we came to a meeting at the church and we were meeting, we had dinner, and we were talking, and I'm like, before we talk about anything, we need to pray for my sister. And we're here to talk about, you know, what are we doing as a church? What are we gathering for? Where are we going? What are we going after? Pretty important stuff, right? Well, my sister calls me about 3 minutes after we pray, and I'm like, oh my God. What is going on here? I was like, it was spooky. It was like those God moments where you're like, I didn't expect you to do that right now. Like, you're throwing my plan off here, Lord. What are you doing? And I ended up talking to her, and she's talking about how she's bummed out. But she asked me a significant question. And that's, Glenn, your life was so messed up. You were in some bad stuff too, right? Like you were in a really horrible place. What did you do? And I'm like, all right. You asked the right guy. And I have had intimidation and fear about sharing the Lord with my family because my family is very intellectual. Like they're, for lack of better words, too damn smart. And they can intellectualize anything, and they can sell ice to an Eskimo, you know? It's like if they have a point and they want to prove it, they're going to get it done at anyone's expense. So that's created fear in my heart with sharing just the love. You know, like God is so pure. He's so wonderful. And his love is so good, but there's been fear about me sharing it with people who I know desperately need it. It's like that, it's a sick, I've been obeying the wrong master in that category, you know, to be honest. Let's call it what it is, shed some light on it. And in that moment, I just felt there was a release of me to just talk freely with her. And I'm just like, well, you say you're desperate, right? She's like, yeah. I'm like, well, are you willing to try anything? She's like, yes, absolutely. I'm like, well, you're in just the right place, sister. I said, are you ready to give your life to Jesus? She's like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, are you ready to give your life to Jesus? You say you don't want to do it anymore, that you don't want to go on. You know, if you want to know what I have to offer you, this is it. She's like, well, how do you do that? So we ended up, we prayed together. She prayed, she repented, she welcomed God into her life. And then I'm like, so did anything, how do you feel? Did anything change? Let's give a clap to the Lord for that one. The story gets better, though, because she responds. She's like, let's pray again. I'm like, you know, I'm like, you don't have to, like, continuously welcome him. Like, once he's there, like, he's present. And, but I could tell earnestly she was saying, let's pray again. Like, I totally blew that out of my butt that time. Like, I'm going to be fired from this church after this, but love you guys. Last time I'll see you, but if language is the biggest problem I have in my life, hallelujah, right? Amen. But yeah. All right. That was that freedom to express myself freely, but I could tell she wanted it, and she prayed. She invited the Holy Spirit to live in her, and since after that, I just kept talking about how much God set her up, because, like, you don't understand all the circumstances. Like, I was like, sister, you don't know what all went into this moment happening. Like, you may see all the crap on your side of the equation. Like, you don't know what God's been doing in my heart towards you. You don't know what he's been doing in our family towards you. You don't know how many people have been praying for this moment, even just tonight. Like, you got set up. You know, like, God knows you. He actually knew that it would take this moment for you to want him. And she stopped me. She's like, hey. I'm like, yeah? You didn't ask me if I felt different. I said, well, do you feel different? She goes, yes. And these were her words. I feel that my future is bright now. And all that she was talking about before was how she's like, I don't know how I can move on. I don't know how I can do anything. I don't know. Her boyfriend had broke up with her. They have two cats that she calls her children, which I think is kind of sick because there's no replacement for kids. But I love her anyways, of course. But, you know, it's like all the world's falling apart. It looks like crap. Holy Spirit comes in and the future looks bright. And I just thought, man, you would have thought that she read the Bible or something before this, you know? It's like he takes the dark places and he sheds light on them. And God is just so funny. Now, I don't know how much my sister attributes her life changing right now to that step in faith towards God. But I see it all over her life. She's like, I feel like this weight's lifted off my shoulders. I'm like, hallelujah. She's like, I have a hope for my future. Hallelujah. You know, I'm over here like secretly like hula hooping, you know. I'm dancing inside and I'm just, you know, glory to God. She's like, it's amazing. Quitting drinking. I feel so much better. I'm like, honey, you don't even know. You don't even know. Like, your life, you have a different life now. Like, you're literally a new creation. And I'm just so grateful for that situation because it was so ugly. There was no hope in my family for her for so long, honestly. And I'm sure many people share the same sentiments. My other sister, Laura, said, I'm not even, there were numerous times. Now, this was, she, obviously my sister Laura is not so good with boundaries because she had to do this more than one time, say, I'm never talking to you again unless you quit drinking. But that being said, obviously our whole family had given in to this notion that her story was written, you know, and that she was a lost cause. But Vicky said it. The price that was paid for her was too expensive for him not to have her. I actually looked the word redeem up this morning. And it is when a price is paid to purchase something back and or to bring it back to its original condition. Now, God has created all of us. And this is part two. God planted this word in me probably 2 years ago that was maybe 3 years ago. If you need something, give it away. Which sounds simple, but I've recognized it as a kingdom complex, if you will. It's a kingdom principle. So, you know, we talk about tithing. If you are faithful with the little that you have, God will increase you, right? If you faithfully give, you know, and many of us have seen that in our lives, like you give and all of a sudden you have more than you did before. Or you think about working. You work hard, you get promoted. That just tends to happen in places. And or if the more that you serve, the more people are willing to serve you. It's just this kind of equation. And I got to thinking about, what about faith and hope and love? What about when you feel empty on those things? And I know in my life, when I feel empty on any of those, I just try to hold on to what little I have. I just try to squeeze it. You know, I don't want anyone to get a hold of it. You know what? I don't feel very loved right now, so I close my heart off from loving people around me. Or I don't feel like people should know this about me or what have you. So I'm going to close myself off. I'm going to put up boundaries that are to protect myself or to protect that integrity or what have you. And really, all God's asking us to do, just like Zeke shared, is give it up. You know, if you need something, you actually need to give it away. If you need peace in your marriage, you actually have to be willing to say the things that might destroy it. And that's straight out of a page out of my book. If you need something, you must give it away. And I got to thinking about Jesus. Now, Jesus, the one for whom and through whom all things were created and they have their being and exist in him because of him, the one in whose image we were made, was with God before the world began, and he will be with God when suddenly this world is gone away like a thief in the night. And I got to thinking about that whole concept of what you need, you have to give it away. And God made each and every one of us to be his children. But in order to have us as his children, he had to give up Jesus. He had to say, I'm willing to let you go, son, because you don't know what's on the other side. You know, and in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus, I'm not sure if he knew what was on the other side. He just knew that God was calling him to it. But God knew, and he knew that if I am to have Gaylene Lindell, if I'm going to have David Martinez, if I'm going to have Ken Kennedy, if I'm going to have Panda Villalobos and Vicky St. Martin, I got to give up Jesus. And the price he was willing to pay was his most prized possession. And I myself, I'm tired of living a life that's fallen short of the price that was paid for me. I'm tired of being afraid to look foolish in front of people when my God was willing to give up his only son for me. I'm tired of it. It makes me sick thinking about how many times I've turned my back on God when I think of all he's done for me. I'm not trashing on myself. I'm just saying, guys, we got to wake up. We got to wake up. We're sleeping. And if all we do is we keep on sleeping, the devil's going to come. He's going to take your marriage. He's going to take your children, and you're going to give it to him. We can't let that happen, church. God so loved the world, he sent his only son, that whomsoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So that thing that you're holding on to so tightly, that thing that you can't let go of, that thing that your spouse did to you, that sister that's too drunk to even matter to you, let go. Let go. And let God move on it. In that, I need to take a step of faith, and I need to take a chance. Because I feel like every time you take a chance for God, he responds, right? He responds to faith. And we know without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews chapter 12 is full of people of great faith. Hebrews 11:12 is about Abraham, right? Somewhere around there. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, if you read the Bible, you'll know what I'm talking about. Has anyone read their Bible this week? But anyways, Hebrews chapter 11, you know, you read these stories about people of great faith. And it's like, okay, how do I become a person of great faith? How do I get faith? Where does faith come from? Faith comes from God. So how do you get more? And I've heard people talk about faith like a muscle. Like, you know, how did Arnold Schwarzenegger get so big? Was it sitting on the couch eating chili cheese Fritos covered in nacho cheese sauce watching Terminator 2? Probably not, because he was in it. But thank you, Jesus. That was a good one. But faith is like muscles. And man, I feel like we've been lazy in the faith gym. Has anyone else been lazy in the faith gym? I'm really good in the comfortable gym. I'm really good in that one. I'm going to go about this and I'm going to do things how I've been doing them because I've been doing them, because I recognize them, because no one's given me any grief, because I've taken all those things out of my life that people were hassling me for. Just because it looks like the faith gym doesn't mean you're actually working out there. Just because you have the image on the outside, just because you're the Pharisee washing the outside of the cup when the inside of the cup is still filthy, you're trying to produce the things in your life on the outside without having the fruit on the inside. You want the culture around you of love, but you don't have the culture of love in your heart. You want your kids to be saved, but in your heart, you can't believe what they're doing. You think of them as you're judging them by what they're doing, like Zeke's talking about. I used to think my job was my identity. For too long, we've been picturing what we do as who we are, not who we are dictating what we do. We're not living from faith, we're living towards faith. Well, that's backwards, guys. So in this faith Faith department, the faith gym. David, I bet you love that. David is rocking the faith gym every day, 7 days a week, this guy. He's a bad man. Filter on. Thank you, Jesus. Jesse, you might want to edit the audio before it goes online. Thank you. Beep, beep. They're going to be like, who is this guy? Preached by unnamed. Thank you. But this morning, I was listening to a message, and it was about just hearing God and knowing God and trusting the God inside of you. And when I think about that, I think, man, I'm going to have to get foolish in front of people in order to do that, because it scares the daylights out of me actually doing some of the stuff that they're talking about. You know how weird people look at you when you say, you know, I felt like God really wants to say to you. And they're like, you hear the voice of God. You know, has anyone ever done that? Stepped out and people are like, okay, that's weird. I'm like, I know it's weird. Like, come on. I wouldn't be telling you if I didn't know it was weird. Like, I know it's strange. Isn't it strange that the creator of the universe actually cares enough to speak to people? Like, that is weird. That makes no sense. But this morning, I was doing that, and I got this pain from my right hip, and it went down into my right knee, and it went all the way down into the arch of my right foot. And I just wonder if there's anyone here who identifies with that. Does anyone have pain that goes from their right leg to their right foot? Awesome. Hold the hands up. Well, it's awesome because God's about to move. And God wants to do something. Because he was speaking to me this morning. I knew it. All it took was a little push from him going, come on, son. He goes, come on, respond. What he's waiting for is he's waiting for you to take a risk. He's waiting for you to take a step of faith. Because that's how Abraham was able to go up on the mountain with his son. It's because he had faith in the God who gave him that son, that he would see through the promise that that his descendants would outnumber the stars. And he had faith in just saying, you know what, God, if that's what you called me to do today, then that's okay, because I don't need to worry about tomorrow. Because you made this promise to me. And I get caught up, my sister's talking about, they always call it future tripping. Anybody ever future trip? You're like, well, if I do that, then I'm going to have to do this. And if I want to go there, then I'm going to have to sell my house. If I sell my house, I'm going to have to change the carpet. Then I'm going to have to paint the walls. Then I'm going to have to clean the garage. And I haven't even put the boxes away from the last time I moved into the house 7 years ago. So this is going to get crazy. And then you end up not doing anything, because you got so caught up spending all your energy future tripping, instead of actually living in the moment. Future tripping. Write that one down if you're taking notes. I'm just kidding. I like that term, though. I'm going to coin that. No, it's probably already coined by Arnold Schwarzenegger. But what's your name, hon? Yeah. Letty. I really believe God wants to heal your leg today. How long have you had pain for? Does it hurt right now? All right. That's good. It's already begun. I don't think you'll ever have that pain again. But what I am going to ask you guys to do is take a step of faith. And it's Ruth, your leg also, right? And Ken Kennedy? All right. So who else wants to live a life of faith? Who wants to take a step outside of the box this morning? We got some volunteers. All right. So if you want to take a step in faith, I want you to stand up. And I want you to gather around somebody who raised their hand. So Letty and Ken and Ruth. Jesse, will you turn on that song, I Will Climb This Mountain? I think it's called Nothing I Hold On To. Just begin to pray over them. Prophesy over our people, over our brothers and sisters. Command the pain to go.
I lean not on my own understanding. My life is in the hands of the Maker of heaven. I lean not on my own understanding. My life is in the hands of the Maker.
Full restoration, Jesus.
I lean not on my own understanding. My life is in the hands of the Maker of heaven. I lean not on my own understanding. My life is in the hands of the Maker.
Give it all up to you.
I give it all.
People, how they feel now.
Trusting that you make something beautiful out of me. Oh, yes. I lean not on my own.
Tell that pain to never come back. Keep going. Next thing the Lord showed me, lower back. I know this is crazy. Let's keep going. Does anyone have lower back pain? All right. All right. Barb, lower back pain? All right. Continue. Just continue. If you're around them, get back up. The Lord's not done. All right. Brother James here and Hope. Now in an atmosphere of faith, anything's possible.
I know that I can trust you. I know that I can trust you. I know that I can trust you.
And I feel like there might be some of us today here too that need to make a commitment to God. And I think He set you up. I think you didn't know what to expect. But I think you're desperate, just like my sister was. And whether you prayed before, whether you welcomed Jesus into your life before, and you're willing to give it all up to Him, whether you're willing to climb this mountain with your hands wide open, or whether for the first time you want to say, Jesus, you're welcome to come live in me. I want everyone, just as a sign of respect, to close their eyes. I want you to bow your head. And I want you to know that you're in a safe place this morning. Surrounded by people who love you. And you're surrounded by a God who loves you so much that He's called you to this very moment. And right now, if you want to make that commitment to God, I just ask you, as a step of faith, we're taking steps of faith this morning. And some people's steps of faith looks different than another person's step of faith. And your walk can't be judged on someone else's walk, because you wouldn't be you if you're judging yourself on someone else's duties. And God just says this morning, He says, son, daughter, He says, you be you today. And if that's you, I want you to raise your hand up as a step of faith to God. And it may seem so simple. Why do I have to put my hand in the air? Because God wants to know you're serious. He wants a commitment from your heart. And He wants you to be willing to look foolish in front of people. Because if you want to have that peace that passes understanding, you're going to have to do some things you don't understand. Feel free, put your arms down. Just say, God, seal the work that you've done in our hearts today. May we never return. Let us press into you, God. Just to know you, just to be with you, to be friends. Thank you that you loved us so much, you're willing to give up your son. That one sacrifice for all time, God. And we're willing to agree that we don't understand it this morning. But from this day on, nothing's going to hold us back from you, God. Will we fall? Maybe. Will we slip? Yep. Will you always catch us? Yep. And we have faith, God, that you can do all things. And we have faith that we can do all things through you who strengthen us, God. And we just thank you for the blood of Jesus this morning. Not only for the forgiveness of sins, but for the healing, for the peace, for the love, and for the invitation to be children this morning, God. Just thank you for all you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, praise God. So you guys very graciously helped us celebrate our 6th year. And it was one of the darkest years of my life. It was like my soul was in a dark night. And it was just really about a week and a half ago that the Lord was revealing to me that's what He was doing. I wasn't going insane. But it wasn't just my dark night. It was a dark night for all of us. We kind of went through a death as a body of believers. But I'm here to tell you today that we're starting our 7th year tomorrow. And we're going to go into a year of refreshing and rest. We're going to enter into the rest that the Father wants us to enter into. So we're not going to look the same. We're not going to act the same. But we're going to be who He's called us to be. And whatever that looks like. And the main thing is that what I want us to do is have love in our hearts for each other. Because if we can love each other with the love that the Father's already loved us with through His sacrifice of His Son, which we so elegantly heard about, then you know what? The world's going to see that love, and they're going to be drawn to it. We're not going to have to preach at them. We're just going to show them that they are loved. And so, amen. God bless you. Let's have an amazing 7th year, right? Okay. Thank you, Glenn. Praise God.